Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is Carl.
And this is Tom.
And today we are discussing sci-fi's The Expanse. Okay, nobody has anything to do. That was an expansive...
We were merely taking in the vastness of the expanse, the vacuum of the expanse. We're just letting it simmer. That's all.
So we just talked about childhood's end, and I heard the last bits and pieces of that episode. And what I heard from you was that sci-fi did not cheap out on it. It looked great. And I thought that was really intriguing because I feel that way about The Expanse.
I get the real feeling that sci-fi is finally trying stuff. I mean, because think about the shows between Killjoys, between what's the other one? Killjoys, Dark Matter, mm-hmm. The Expanse, Childhood's End. They're finally starting to throw out some actual science fiction program, and each one feels different. These don't, you know, these shows have sort of, they're kind of going in different directions. And so, honestly, when I saw the previews for The Expanse, you know, we've been watching Killjoys, we've been watching Dark Matter. I saw it and I was like, okay, well, they're going to go, you know, in space again? Or is this, how are they going to make this one different from those series? The Expanse is different. I'ma tell you, because I didn't jump into The Expanse.
Let me tell you why, though, Carl. I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to set up the beginning for them. So apparently I watched a pre-release episode of The Expanse, and this differed greatly from what you have seen if you've watched The Expanse recently, because when I first watched The Expanse, it was miserable. I told Carl not to watch it. I texted him and told him not to watch it because it was terrible. And it was just, it was not good. Let me tell you why it wasn't good. It was not good because I noted on Twitter how I felt about it. And then a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Cook Jamil and Eric was on Twitter telling me that I needed to watch The Expanse. It was the best thing on sci-fi in a long time. It was really great. And I was telling them they were smoking crack because I saw it like a couple of months ago back, and it was just abysmal. It had Thomas Jane. We had just seen Thomas Jane in Vice. And Thomas Jane just has not been getting... He was in freaking I, Frankenstein. And so I was just He was I, Frankenstein.
What? No, he wasn't.
Who was I, Frankenstein?
That was our guy that we like from Battle L.A., was it?
Oh, I'm getting them mixed up.
I can see why, but I think that was Battle L.A., right?
You're right, Aaron Eckhart. I'm sorry.
No, but see, that's the thing about Thomas Jane, though. He's got that look where, because in Vice, he looked like Viggo Mortensen with the crazy hair. So he kind of morphs, but we worry when we see him because we are worried that they put him in as a filler for somebody else that they might have preferred. They kind of keep doing that with this guy. So when we see it, we're immediately suspicious that, they probably wanted to go with somebody else, but... However, so with all of that prefaced, go on.
So I saw him. And so when you watch The Expanse now, what you see is a girl. She's trying to get out of a pod. She's saying help, blah, blah. Then she goes throughout the ship and then she screams. And what she see is like an alien and a big freaking electrical field, something looking really bizarre or something. Then you go straight into this Belter having this long speech, and you go throughout the space station where he's talking, and you fly around the planets and you see all these cool outer space visuals that just kind of suck you in, that like, oh my God, I'm watching something special. And then they go to the space station with Thomas Jane, and then they're talking and they're doing some stuff. But once the Belter explain how the system works, Thomas Jane and his scene makes sense. This is what I saw. Girl on spaceship, scream. Don't know what she's screaming. Thomas Jane talking in the freaking mess hall or wherever he was. I didn't get to see any of those visuals at all in my first viewing. I had nothing to draw me in. All I saw was lady screaming, go to Thomas Jane. And the whole edit of it was just abysmal. I didn't understand what was going on. It was not clever or new. And I was just like, oh no, Carl, we're not wasting our time on that. Okay. So when Eric told me to watch it, I was like, okay, fine. I felt like I may have watched it and not given it a chance. I'm going to watch it again. Then I see, and they have all these new special effects and all these new visuals. And I was like, what? I don't remember any of that. And I said that on Twitter. And a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Cook confirmed that, okay, fine. You are right. It's all of that is new. That's not what you saw at first. It wasn't there.
Okay. No. So since you didn't seem very excited about it, I had put it on hold. You know, we were always trying to coordinate our watching so we can do our podcast and whatnot. So I never saw this early version that you were talking about, nor was I very excited about watching it because of what you'd said. So I just kind of went into it going, all right, let's see what they're going to do this time, because again, they're trying different things. I'm willing to give them a shot. Let's see how it goes. And that's how I went into The Expanse. Now, I found initially the transition between the space visuals and the expansiveness of the initial scenes, and then going to the gumshoe space PI, I found that jarring. I found, and right away, I had kind of tensed up because I don't really like, you know, space cop procedurals. When you think about Babylon 5, the part of Babylon 5 I was not really interested in was all the cops settling things on the station, and he's just going to walk around with his badge settling. That was not something I was really that interested in. And so when they started that way, I was like, okay, I know where The Expanse is going
to
go.
Imagine seeing the girl scream and going straight to that the visuals.
I know. I'm just saying, even with the visuals, I was a little hesitant at first. But then, The Expanse, they start to get into the cultures of the orbital Belters. And then what's going on Mars? What happened on Earth? Yes, we do get what's going on with the cops investigation. And I was trying to figure out, well, why are they trying to shoehorn that in here? Why is that important? Then we get to see our crew out on their space mission and about to investigate. Oh, something seems to be coming in behind these rocks here. Let's go check out what's happening there. Each little scenario that they started, because it seemed like they were going in an awful lot of different directions. You know, early on, I was like, man, I don't know. How's all of this stuff going to start making sense? How's this stuff going to start coming together? But the first thing that really got me, besides the visuals of the deep space exploration, I love the scale of the mining vessels. We take the tour of the beautiful mining vessel. We get to know the crew. You know, you guys, oh, no, we're going to go out there and we'll be right back. You check out what's on the mission, and we'll keep things safe here at home. And then we see our team, you know, step out their little ship to see what's going on behind the mine. They had set this wonderful vista, this incredible richness of life on that drilling station ship. You know, oh, I can't wait to, you know, get my money when we get back home. And all of that's laid out. First thing we do is, oh, man, you got your space battle action going on. with realistic physics in space, them trying to dip and dive away from the missiles and dipping into the asteroid belt. And then we get that lonely scene where the missiles go past them. They're all by themselves out there on the belt. They see the missiles heading towards their loved ones, everything they knew, their money, all of that stuff. And the ship that they had just spent, a good chunk of their budget building and exploring, decimated just like that. Gone.
I loved it.
That was awesome. Because that is showing you that they are breaking the mold out of the predictability of the formulaic stuff that we had seen time and time again. That really hits you because now you see this is going to be our crew. These are going to be the guys that we're hanging out with. Oh, well, they are alone in the expanse of space. They really, really are alone because there's nothing else going on out there. We don't know how they're going to survive. This is the raggedy team that's got to somehow manage. And they are just one of the threads. And of course, they start to weave in why that happened with all of the other timelines. I mean, of course, we've got, we've got the royal family bureaucracy. We've got royal family, sort of like, what do you want to call it? That's almost got like a little of a Firefly Serenity, yeah. A royalty going on the side there. And so, you again, I wasn't that keen on that part of the storyline. But you start to see why it makes sense. So for them, in just the few episodes that they have covered so far, to reel in all of these loose edges, these different story directions that they're going on, and making it interesting and different, they had me. I said, "All right, I'm ready now. Let's do this." So I'm a little excited about the expanse.
Tom.
Yeah, me too.
Unacceptable, sir.
I'm in agreement. Look, my whole thing, like, I will watch this show. I've been watching this show, and the big reason for me, while I enjoyed everything you guys just said, the big thing for me was just that they established context at the very beginning. They told me where in history we are, where in human history. What the current events are like, and I found that I always find that missing in a lot of sci-fi stuff. You know, I couldn't get interested in dark matter. You know, when dark matter began, Killjoys too. It's not always easy. You don't get this sense of the flow of history, where you are in history and what's happening.
I feel those are different scale. Because those are like space romps and they're supposed to be fun, so it's not really that important. Whereas here in the Expanse, like, it's important because they are doing historical things and they want to break it down a bit more. Sort of cut you off about that, but I was just like, I see what you mean, but I think they're like apples and oranges.
And my concern is the space romps we've seen before. I mean, I'm happy to see that the Sci-Fi Channel is at least embracing more of the science fiction and space exploration than they have of late. So when I saw Killjoys and Dark Matter coming out, I recognized them for the lighterness that they were relative to something like this, but it still felt kind of safe. You know, they felt kind of safe as series for me. So for them to start with those and then to deliver something like The Expanse, that was surprising to me and much larger.
Okay,
let's
let Tom finish because we cut him off.
Sorry,
we interjected.
I said all I needed. That's pretty much it for me. I'm just watching it.
But you like the historical part and you like how it.
Not just that it's a history, but that they've established context. They've answered a lot of my questions right off the bat. Whereas some of these other shows will not. I'll have questions like, you know, what date is it and have we made contact with aliens yet and how far into the solar system have we gone as humans? And they either won't get answered or they'll hold off on answering them either because they don't know or they want to create suspense and they just leave you hanging.
Mm-hmm. Because they're actually inside of a giant warehouse underneath Washington, D.C. since the 50s. You know, they'll do something like that.
Somebody is still pissed about Ascension.
It sucks! I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's a fear. I'm with you, Tom.
My thing. Like
we've been burned, and so if you don't give us any context, we're afraid that there's going to be some funky twist like that that's going to derail, you know, it's multiple episodes that we've invested in. So yeah, good point.
I think on the negative side, here and there, it feels a little slow. But I'm enjoying it.
So did you enjoy Babylon 5 and like Battlestar Galactica reboot? And
I enjoyed Babylon 5, and Carl and I used to watch that.
Okay.
But I kind of got, I don't think I ever quite finished Babylon 5. And that was
Babylon 5. What about Battlestar Galactica?
Battlestar Galactica, I didn't watch. I mean, except when I was a kid, like the original.
Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know. I think the reboot or the reimagined Battlestar Galactica was a treat. It was really depressing, but it was a treat. And I think that because, I mean, do you think, Carl, because he does not have, I guess, the knowledge of Battlestar Galactica, that he might enjoy it better because he hasn't seen this type of grittiness? I think it has the same grittiness of BSG.
He may not have the claustrophobic fatigue that I did from Galactica. But that's the other thing. So
I am very innocent.
Well, you've seen Babylon 5, so it's the politics there are similar.
Yeah, it does feel.
Yeah,
it does
feel. But I mean, it feels different enough because has anybody read Moon is a Harsh Mistress? Moon is a Harsh Mistress. It's a terrible book, but it was interesting because it was like a technical manual for people who were living on Mars, and like there was polygamy, but women had multiple husbands, and it was this computer who learned things, and it wasn't my favorite book, but for some reason this reminds me of something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure why. If anybody read the book, maybe they can chime in on that. But like that about it. But go ahead.
I will say that the new Galactica had a grittiness that Kat is talking about, and a richness in set design and scale and even color scheme that's very similar to the Expanse. If you look at the space stuff, you do feel a bit of the new Galactica in it. So if you haven't seen it, then you're seeing all of this new and this. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, as Kat says, it's my personal opinion that the new Galactica was kind of depressing, and after multiple seasons of that, I wasn't particularly anxious to go back to it. Yeah. However, even what we've seen with the Expanse, even though the lighting and even the helmets look similar and all that from Galactic, somehow it's not as claustrophobic. It's not as dark as what we had going on with Galactica. And I'm happy about that.
Well, that's because we get locations, because we get to go to Earth. We get to chill out on a rooftop.
I mean, even within the vessels, there seems to be more openness. But no, I agree. The fact that, you know, we know that at some point they will leave is beneficial. But still, it just feels more spacious on the Expanse. I don't know. Maybe it's just the name. I don't know. But so the question is, all right, if you've seen Galactica, is that going to help you or hurt you for the Expanse?
I think it'll help if you liked Galactica. I don't think it's so much like Galactica that you'll be like, oh my God, this is like Galactica. But it just like, oh, this kind of, there's something about it that reminds me of it and reminds me why I liked Galactica as a series.
There are no aliens in the Expanse, correct?
Not that we have seen yet.
Doesn't look like there's any alien contact.
Not that we've seen yet.
I think you're right, and that's a good point actually. That's a very good point, because I don't know what to make about that.
Versions of humanity, this evolved versions of humanity. But
because I still don't know what happened when the chick screamed, like, what was that? Like, what was happening? I don't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess to give a recap, if you haven't watched The Expanse, you want to know, this is spoilers. I mean, because I just can't. It's exhausting to try not to spoil you. But we open with this chick who's been missed. She's like a spoiled rich girl, and she's off in space, and her rich dad on Earth is looking for her. And so what's his name? Thomas Jane is the gumshoe detective that is charged with looking for her. So he's also a cop, and he's like a cop who wears a hat, and he was born on, was he born on Mars or Earth?
No, I thought he was a belter.
He's a belter, but he's an Earth poser.
Yeah, he'll dress like, he likes to dress like an Earthling, and yeah. it gets him people pissed off at him sometimes, but he's too cool to care.
Yeah, so that's really
and we know that because he wears a hat.
Yeah, so it's 200 years in the future. There are three major organizations. There's Earth, Mars, and the asteroid belt. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a
Ceres.
Right.
Is like a major mini planet out there, right? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Out in the belt?
Yeah.
And the
there's an OPA militant group. That's Belter militant group. They're going around.
Yeah, so Mars and Earth are almost at war with are always at each other's throats, and it looks like a war is about to break out.
Mm-hmm. Because the Earth has been raided of its resources and is dwindling down ecologically and economically, and they're taking the money from the belt and from Mars to keep Earth alive.
Right. And the belters feel like both Earth and Mars are building their empires on the backs of them, and they're sick of it.
Yep.
Pretty mm-hmm. much. And
So there's rebellion among the belters. There's like a rebellion is forming.
And doesn't
meanwhile,
this feel a little Total Recall? You know what I'm saying? Like when Total Recall, they had this little Mars colony, and they were trying to colonize Mars, and they had the people that were like of the lower caste, and
they did the same thing in Babylon 5. So you know we're veterans in sci-fi. We want to see that, but we're just appreciating the differences.
I enjoyed that though about the Expanse.
Yes, I did too.
People paying for air.
Mm. Yes, Total
part of
Recall.
Every science fiction movie.
total Recall.
Unless they're paying for ice, and that would be a different science fiction movie. But yeah,
that ice ship, ice collecting ship, was a disaster. I mean, even without being attacked,
yeah,
I couldn't see them lasting very long.
Really? What ice collecting? What are you talking about?
They had cranes sticking out, and the ice was just flying all over the place, and people were getting killed.
What show was this?
This is the beginning. This is the show. This is the ship that the smaller vessel left. The ship he's talking about is the one that got destroyed by the missiles.
The ice mining ship.
That was an ice mining ship. It's mining stuff in the belt. Ice, presumably, but there's other stuff, too, out there. So, yes, that's what he was talking
about.
There's
so much stuff in here that I miss things sometimes. You have to rewatch it. It's just so packed with so much goodness.
Yeah, it was a mess, but they kind of talk about it too, because the elevator was rickety and they were having some problems with maintenance, and so yeah, everything they were saying, although it was big and supposedly bringing in money, it was a raggedy mining ship, a very large one.
Yeah, that one guy's arm got taken off immediately. Mm-hmm. Remember? That was even before the fight broke out. People were losing limbs and.
It's rough in the belt.
He got his arm limb, and then he said he didn't want like an organic one grown back. He wanted a android arm or whatever. And I was just like, I was kind of with him. I was like, yeah, because it's cooler. Like, why would you want a freaky organic half arm?
And he's got to work. That's what he was thinking about. Yeah. I want something that'll survive out here where I'm working.
That was nice. But what is the show about? Well, it's basically what we said it's about, but there is a lot of little things going on. Like while there is the gumshoe Thomas Jane, he has a partner, right? And the partner has befriended a hooker to teach him moon ease.
Yeah, Belter ease. That's where I go for my language training. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an extra credit.
Yeah. So I don't, I guess that was the only way he could figure out how to connect with the Belters. Which...
Probably the more fun way, I would think. There might be other options, but he really
did. Can we say it didn't help him?
Well, he had, there was a price to pay. there was a price to pay for that bit of an engagement there. Yes.
Yeah, because somehow, like, he tried to communicate with some angry Belters and then they impaled him. And I really enjoyed it because I stopped there at that episode for a while and I was just like, I don't know what's happening here on this episode. They're killing off the people in the main ship.
They
killed off this guy who we had to sit and watch him learn language from a hooker. So we're like building a story about him. And
let's not forget the zero G sex. You got to have zero G sex at some point.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Carl.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
I almost forgot that. That was cool. That was a neat scene.
Got to do that.
Well, okay. So yeah, and that, and then so they take all this time building the characters, especially the lady in Zero G. We know she doesn't have feelings, you know, or whatever. And she's one guy's getting attached to her and everybody's being attached. And these people who get attached are not attached. We learn all these things about them. Bam, they're dead.
Dead, yes.
And they are not afraid to build up a character, build up things, and just kill them off. And I enjoy that. I enjoy it because you don't know, like, who is the star? We know Thomas Jane is a star, but maybe he's gonna die, you know? Like,
that's right.
We don't know.
They've taken on the Walking Dead strategy of people because you just don't know, and that's good. I mean, you don't want to go into something thinking you know where it's gonna go. It's great to have this sort of degree of suspense, and you're always on edge. You're always on edge when you're watching this stuff.
Yeah. And so in the latest episode, we know that the cop partner is still sort of alive.
He made it. He made it somehow.
Sort of. Maybe he'll recover. Maybe he won't. I thought that was a bit of a cheat, but I didn't mind.
Yep.
You know, then there was something with Tyrese from The Walking Dead and a Mormon ship.
Yeah, that was interesting, huh? We've got major players are Earth, Mars, and Space Mormons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so weird. Like,
that's where I decided I really didn't know where this show was going.
and
so I'm willing to watch just because of that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I thought when he said it, I was like, surely he did not say it. And then he said it again and I was like, he said that. That what?
Yep. That was an interesting twist to go with.
No idea what's happening. So right now I feel like this kind of review cap is all over the place, but right now there's just a lot of building going on.
Yes, yeah, which is fabulous because they have managed to spark up all of these different possible paths, all of these different possible characters, and we know their motivations, we know what's going on with them, and they still manage to sew a little thread between all of them that makes sense, that relates them together. This is good storytelling. Exciting.
I'm impressed. And then, like, the second big ship, it destructed, right? Yeah. So all the ships are going down, and I don't know what they're going to do.
And let me tell you that, this was the second one with the commander. What was her name? Well, I can't remember
her
name.
Doesn't matter.
But she was... All right, here's the other thing. I have been missing big space battles for a long time, particularly big like Yamato, Galactica, Armada against Armada, you know, what we were hoping we were going to see in Ender's Game, stuff like that, right? So when you've got ships of the scale of what you see in The Expanse, the first thing you understand is the way they fight is going to be different. It's not going to be like Klingon versus the Enterprise, where it's a lot of flying around and pew-pew, and they're shooting at each other and dipping and dying. Uh-uh. They're going to stand back, and they're going to lob missiles and rail guns at each other, and there's going to be this slow death, because They're going to eventually hit. You can't get away. They're too big to be doing all that running. And so there's this chess-like calculus that begins when you've got a space battle. Like, no one ever does it that way. That's the way it's actually going to be, though. That's the way. And then you've got your little ships that are coming in and running interference, and they're doing stuff and they're trying to board one another. They did it right. And it was so exciting to see a battle like that. And what was going on board the ship, because you also get a real sense that, you know, these guys, they aren't really battle hardened. I mean, they're like, oh, well, we've done this in simulation. There's a bunch of kids on the bridge, and they don't fare well in this battle.
There's a meteor that goes through a ship, takes a guy's head off as he's offering somebody weed. Like, I really don't know where this is going. I think it's good so far. I don't know if... Because it doesn't have a name like Battlestar Galactica is not a reboot of anything. I don't know if it'll get the ratings or what's going to happen that way or if it'll be renewed or anything like that. But I'm absolutely enjoying it, which of course means it's going to be canceled.
So. No, I have a little faith. I have a little more faith because this one's got a budget behind it. And I think people are going to start liking this. It's so different from what we've seen on the channel in quite a while. I think this has got legs to build an audience.
Well, it does have a season 2. I just confirmed that. So
at least it hit 8.4 on IMDb, so it's not...
8.4, really?
Yeah.
All right. So, all right.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it feels like a real story. It doesn't feel as light as those other shows we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think people like that.
People are ready.
Yeah, I think we are ready. So that, you know, what I want to talk about in kind of tacked on to it, we keep bringing it up, but we haven't talked about it head on. And this is in addition to The Expanse, is Ascension. I want to just talk about that briefly. And the problems it had, because I know when I saw the trailers for that thing last year, I thought it was going to be good.
We were all very excited because that was the first time that the Sci-Fi Channel said, okay, we are really going to get back to science fiction now. Here is a slate of new stories. We've renewed Defiance. Everybody is going to get on board with us. And so we were like, yes, they are really going to do it now. Ascension looks great. A space station, I can't wait to see it. And then just sort of like as a parting slap, you know, of good old classic sci-fi, they just mess with us. They just mess with us.
I think it wanted to be good in theory, although it was clumsy the way it unfolded. I thought that it perhaps... It needed to either be a space show, a supernatural show, or a conspiracy theory show. Those together sound like they do work, but the execution of those just, it's not, it was a complex layered story, but it just does not come off like The Expanse. You know, it's, I don't know what the hell happened. Like, I feel like it would be really awesome to think that, hey, I've been in space for all these years. Oops, nope, I've just been in a pod. You know?
There were elements that could have worked because having a retro, I mean, it's not quite steampunk, but like a 60s punk space station, as implausible as that is, that's the last time we went that deep into space anyway with technology that was designed from that era. So it was fun to see them to bring back that era with the technology, with the ships. I was willing to suspend the disbelief that somehow we had managed to swing it. I also thought that they had put some real money in the effects. You know, when you saw the ship, it was grand and it was big, and I was like, wow, this is going to be really interesting. They also were sort of bringing back some of the old 60s kind of, well, classic, societal class issues that I thought would be an interesting thing to revisit in space. But I really was wanting it to be set in space as an entree for us getting back into real science fiction. And for them to kind of pull the rug out from underneath us like that with it, oh, it's, you know, it's the year 2000 and they've just been in a bunker, just seemed like such a cheat.
Not only that, it's the star child, special person, evolution of humanity to having special powers that was also insulting. I did not like, because it felt shoehorned in, like, oh, she can somehow detect, she has a bullshit detector to let people know that we're not really in space, and she could see what now? Like, it was dumb. It was the dumbest power ever.
It was pretty feeble. Again, even that could have been done in a way that was interesting. I would have gone with the Star Child. That's consistent with the 60s. Even that you could have made work. But the way they did it, and of course, the whole massive side plot of what was going on with the managers of the station outside and them getting in trouble with their higher-ups and all of that. That was so uninteresting. And then they killed the girl. They just killed her. It was just so
Tom, did you see this one, Ascension?
I didn't, and I'm certainly not going to now.
Oh, Tom, you didn't see it.
Thank you for saving me the trouble.
Like, if you feel like you're really depressed or something and you don't have anything else to watch.
Watch this. It'll make you more depressed.
If I need
something to push me over the edge.
Because, like, if you want to see something horribly gone wrong from, I don't know how it could go so wrong, but you want to see how something can go wrong, watch that or Skyline. One of the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you'll get the same result, fury, upon completion of the program. But I just felt that, you know, because every year sci-fi has its little thing it does. It does an end of the year special. So that year it was Ascension. This year I think it's Childhood's End, right?
Yeah.
Which y'all discussed. And y'all say that y'all think it's something that you would recommend. But from what I heard, y'all start talking about the religious aspects. I was just like, this sounds like Dominion and I'm scared.
Yeah, it is not Dominion. I don't know how to sell you on it, Kat, because I know the things that you like, and this might not be your cup of tea, but I will simply say that it is a very interesting, as I mentioned in the podcast, it's an interesting mix between the spiritual, religious, and the sort of science fiction, technical. And it is...
Well, I like science.
I'd give the book a shot, Kat. Because the book is short and it really has that feel of the old written science fiction. I mean, I might give
it, because, like, does the show do the book justice at all or no?
I think so.
I'd give it an 80% on that count.
I'd rather just read the book.
Yeah, read the book and.
Or maybe if I'm going to watch it, I should probably watch it before I read the book. If I read the book and then watch it, then I'm going to hate the TV show. You're going to watch something terrible, watch the thing terrible, and then read the book, and then you won't be so disappointed. That's how I feel.
All right. Well, like I said, I know the kind of stuff that you like, and this is a little out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So even if you read the book, I'm not sure if that's going to make a difference. But I genuinely, because it is different, and it's not really a happy story. So don't go in and expect.
Yeah, that's
a happy
what
story.
I heard. I don't like depressing stories.
Well, you watch Galactica, but
I complained about Galactica and how depressing it was, and how I did not want to watch it.
Well, this is this.
But
is,
even though I thought it was good, see, that's the difference. Tom, Galactica is watchable. I would recommend it to you. However, it is good and you cannot like it at the same time because it's depressing. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's something that could be like the new up and coming Roots remake that's going to happen.
Well, he does exactly what you're saying, because that's what he is saying. It is depressing, and it's difficult, but you still enjoy it.
Yeah. So you got nothing for the Roots remake, Carl?
Not yet. I haven't seen
that. That is just something I don't know who's in it. In history.
Well, we'll see.
I don't want that. Okay. Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of give you something that. So we have The Expanse, which I think is. They should have never released that early release because it was just, oh my God.
Maybe they were learning something from that. Maybe they were getting good feedback.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Maybe the fact that you hated it made the real one, this better. One better.
I think so. Maybe. Because I saw it again. When I saw it my second time, I thought, okay, I know that I'm tired when I'm in school. Because I watched it when I was in school. And I'm tired and I don't like to watch things when I'm in school because I'll watch them and not like them because I'm exhausted and wouldn't get. So that's what I thought happened because when I looked at it again, I was like, what? I totally love this. Why? How in the world did I not? And then to you know, hear that, yeah, you watch something totally different than what people are seeing now. That made the difference. You know, it made me feel like I wasn't a crazy person. So I'm glad that they were willing to go back in and do something different. Like, hey, this sucks. Let's tweak it. That is such good news, Carl.
Yeah.
That's unheard of, right?
Well, they are clearly tweaking the network now. We have heard them say this a couple of times, so I'm not going to get excited yet. But what we are seeing is a different sci-fi channel than we have seen over the past 5 years.
Under the thumb of Bonnie Hammer, remember her?
I'm not naming any names. I'm simply going to say what we are seeing now is different than the sci-fi channel that we've seen over the past. And I would call it a strong improvement. I want them to keep it up.
Yeah, well... That is good. So we're gonna close the door on The Expanse, and we're gonna wait. We're gonna do another review on it because we have four more episodes coming up in January. The next one is on the 5th.
I'm on it.
So it'll be a new one, and I think we should all, you know, you, Tom, and I, and we'll have Eric on as well. I think he's working, but I don't know. I'm in love with this show. It's in space. It has spaceships, not necessarily aliens. You know, that's one of my things too, spaceship aliens and being in space. But this one has a great story. It's intriguing in that we don't know what's happening and we're willing to just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
Because the flow is,
I'll keep watching. Although I will say that these bad guys in this movie have terrible aim. They can't hit anything. The last scene in the last episode when they were running down the catwalk.
Yeah.
And there were like 10 guys trying to shoot them, and they were running in slow motion and they really bad aim. I hope that those guys pee sitting down.
Okay.
Yeah, that was concerning because I'm like I kind of was bored with the unrealisticness of that because that just wasn't, I don't know, it didn't seem right. Like, I don't get it. I didn't get that.
I felt it was it was disconnected from the efficiency of the war ability that got them on there. So in other words, they decimated a whole ship. They boarded it. They got their commandos on board. And now none of the commandos could hit anything. I let it go because I was just happy to see some real space swashbuckling. But you're right. It was like 10 dudes down the hall. And then he's like, I'm just going to go around this corner real quick. You guys stay here. And, you know, he runs around the corner somehow. And, we'll let it go. I'm letting it go.
Carl, this is the one final thought I want to have on it.
Yeah.
The one thing when I watched this show that I think I liked about it the most is there is no Canadian landscape in sight.
Yeah, that's true.
I miss the trees.
My
God. I'm doing a Stargate rewatch because, I don't know, I'm in a zone or whatever. And that is so Canada. So Canada, so green.
They define Canada. I mean, that was between X-Files, 1997, Outer Limits, and Stargate. You don't get more Canadian than that.
Oh my God. So crazy. That is there's not a piece of green. Like, maybe there was a green tree somewhere, but there is no Canadian landscape.
I'm pretty sure it's probably still shot in Canada. They're just disguising it.
I welcome it. I welcome it because, damn it, that landscape. As soon as we see it, we know. And it pulls us out of it.
Yep.
But right now, and I also appreciate the cast. I know this is longer than 20 minutes, but the cast, it feels like real diversity, like not the faux diversity maybe that we get like on Stargate SG-1. SGU, or like some of those where they're the same type of people, but they might be different color. These are really different types of people.
Yep.
You know, and they feel like they come from different backgrounds. I feel the difference between them, and I feel
each of these characters you can feel has a motivation and a background that's interesting. That is a rare thing these days when you're watching shows or movies, when you can see folks. And what's amazing is All that we have seen in Expanse has been over what? Like
four episodes. Four.
I mean, seriously, think about some of the other sci-fi shows that we've seen.
Stargate SGU.
Well, no, I don't even want to use that's the worst possibility. Just some of the other maybe some of the newer stuff that's had twice as many episodes with a third the cast and don't have the same kind of depth and feel that we've seen with these guys. They're doing great. This is really, really exciting.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, that's not names.
Fallen Sky. No. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap up The Expanse, unless anybody has any final thoughts, Tom.
No, it's real easy to suspend your disbelief on this one, and I bought in almost immediately, and I'm gonna keep watching it.
Very good, Carl.
Can't recommend it more. I think we should try to support it. Let's get sci-fi making actual science fiction again. I like it.
I agree. And that's our show. We love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can reach us at scifipartyline on Twitter and Facebook. We have a Facebook group. You can also download us on Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
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 Oh, that was sexy. Bye.
I'll try to tone down the sex.
It's difficult.